You're with Fab FM on our very first day of broadcasting. I'm Paul Macon. Well, my next guest is someone who enjoys spending time on his farm with his family, collecting art, breeding birds, bushwalking, or riding his Harley Davidson. He's worked as a railway porter, insurance clerk, real estate salesman, fitter and turner with a mining company, grazier, crocodile farmer, and served Australia for 9 years in the RAAF. That was as an aircraft engine fitter. He was first elected to Parliament in March 1996 as the member for Leichhardt. And guess what? He still is. Good morning, Warren Edge.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm very good. Lovely to have you as my very first guest on the radio station. Thanks for joining us.
Well, look, it's an absolute pleasure. We've been certainly looking forward to firing off again. And it's great to see that we've got the station back up and fully operational. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Warren. Look, okay, a few things I want to have a chin wag with you about. Let's start with this horrific scourge of the drug ICE. And as I understand it, you're calling on all levels of government to take a bipartisan approach to rid far north Queensland communities of it.
Look, absolutely. And I, what prompted this? I mean, we all know that there is a very significant issue in Australia now with ICE, and it's one that's particularly hitting regional and rural communities hard, very, very hard. I've had a couple of forums, ICE forums around Cairns, a couple, which were very well attended with agencies and what have you, looking at ways in which we can manage this. But what prompted me to speak out on this recently was in Kuranda. The Noongar community group up there, the indigenous group in Kuranda, held a rally recently, which they invited me to attend. And I've got to say to you, I took the opportunity of going up there, and it was good to see we had me as a federal representative, we had the state representative in Craig Crawford, and we also had Tommy Gilmore, the mayor from Mareeba. So we had three levels of government there, and they marched down the Kuranda streets and then had a rally in the park. And to the chanting, if you like, of cook rice, not ice. But they shared stories about, you know, conflict within their own community and the impact that was having on that community. All of these things, it's almost impossible to do unless you've got the community behind you as well.
That's right, because you get communities, you're talking about Kuranda there, but here at Port Douglas, Mossman, ICE is here. We know it's here. It's in the community, and people need to let the authorities know if they know about it, if it's next door to them, so that we can try to clean it up. I've spoken to cops who've told me, Paul, forget about heroin, ICE has taken over.
Well, look, you know, I made a point, and I'm saying this from a personal perspective, Paul. I have somebody that very, very close to me, one of my family members, who rang me in desperation because that family member's child, who was in their mid-20s, was actually addicted to ICE.
Oh, no.
And they had no idea what to do. Now, I spoke to that young person, and that person was living in a capital city and was struggling to try and get the support. Now, one of the things that I... And so this is from a personal experience. Mm. Beautiful kid. Everything going for this person. Well-educated, good job, generally a good circle of friends, strong family behind this person, but had a relationship breakdown, and the partner had sort of introduced this person to a circle of friends that were in this space. Mm. And when that relationship broke down, this person, these so-called friends, in offering support, offered her this poison.
Yeah, well, they're not friends, Warren. They're fiends.
And it was accessed through the workplace and through these friends, and suddenly realised that the life was spinning totally out of control. One hit on this, mate, this is the difference. One hit on this and you can be absolutely addicted. Now, fortunately, this person reached out initially to the father, and the father then reached out to me. I then reached out to my colleagues in this city that were of the other political bent, but it's where this person was living. And I've got to say to you that I will be forever grateful that these colleagues, who were the local members in the metropolitan area, did an amazing job in helping me find support. But one of the things that I realised, even in the capital cities, you don't need daily support. And this person didn't. They needed to go somewhere where they could stay for a period of a week or 2 weeks to give them the detox, to give them the support they needed so that they could then build the strength to say no.
Yeah.
Now, we found that eventually, and I've got to say that this person now is absolutely thriving, everything's fine, but it was horrific. And so I'm looking at this from a personal perspective, and this is the reason that I say, in spite of all of the best work by police and by health workers, all the best intentions from politicians of all levels of government, unless the community comes on board and owns this and supports these initiatives, then we're never, ever going to be able to deal with it. And as I said at that rally, when you go back through generations, if you go back to the 20s and 30s, the issue back in those days was alcohol. Remember the prohibition, etc.? Alcohol was the problem. The 40s and the 50s, it was tobacco. In the 60s and the 70s, it was marijuana. In the 80s and the 90s, of course, it was heroin and cocaine. Now, in the 2000s, it's this insidious substance called ice. And in my view, this has more negative impacts on our society because of its addictability and the tendency to have people do the most horrific violent acts. More impact than all of those other substances combined. And, you know, you see it in the paper where somebody has smashed their mother's head in with a hammer and then cut the girlfriend's or their wife's throat.
It's dreadful. Warren Ince, thank you for sharing that very, very personal story. Now, onto something else. The mobile phone coverage has been an issue for quite some time across far north Queensland. Everybody knows about the dead spots around the Daintree, Cape Trib, Weeper, Wonga Beach and Mount Carbine. But as I understand it, you've secured funding for 4 new mobile phone towers.
Yeah, and these ones are very difficult ones, mate. Now, we've done the easy ones first, as is understandable. We can now drive, for example, from Cairns to Mossman, and there are very few gaps along the way. But there are other areas that we need some more work. And one of those difficult ones is, of course, up around that Wonga area, between Wonga and Cape Tribulation and Daintree area. Now, putting another one into Wonga is going to make in that Wonga area is going to extend that coverage very, very significantly. Now, the Cape Tribulation one was even more difficult because there's no power. And so we had the opportunity on round 2 of the mobile black spots, this is going back in 2016, to identify areas on our wish list in the more difficult ones. And I put up Cape Tribulation and Mount Carbine as 2 of the areas that I wanted, plus the Wonga Beach. There was another big problem we had up at Weeper, where I wanted to try and get the mobile coverage covered from Weeper Township through to the Weeper Airport. Now, I was successful in getting those through. Now, it's taken a bit of time to be able to work out or to get the providers on side. Now we have a situation where you've got a couple of them are going to be Telstra exclusive. Others, for example, like to Cape Tribulation, and the Wonga one, I think, are going to be Optus and Telstra combined. They're going to co-share on those. But this is going to make a big difference for the particularly the Cape Tribulation residents. But you know, because we can get in a couple of places on the other side of the river. Once we get that, we'll then see where the gaps are. Understand that with mobile phones, you can only get mobile phone coverage by putting in a tower.
Yeah.
So you are constrained in some degree I also want to see how far a range we can get with the one at Mount Carbine. I think the Wonga's going to really help us immensely as well. But then what we've got to do is once we get these in commission, I've been pushing very hard for another round.
Speaking with the member for Leichhardt, Warren Inch, Warren, the Daintree Ferry is having its fair share of problems. The Douglas Shire Council copped a spray from tourism operators and residents when the ferry was removed in late February from the Daintree River for the first time in 10 years. Some businesses say they lost thousands of dollars from that maritime safety inspection when they weren't given adequate warning.
Well, I support the community on this, on the Douglas, North Douglas community on this. There has been some significant issues there. And it wasn't just the decommissioning of that ferry for that period of time. Understand that this has been an issue that's been there for years. You know, there have been waiting times of up to 2 hours either way to get across. Now, that's 2 hours that people might only have a day to go and visit. That's 4 hours that are taken out of their time. And it really doesn't, it doesn't encourage them to come back a second time. These businesses in the North Douglas community are very, very restricted in their business opportunities. And to be able to then cut into those opportunities in peak times like this and give a very negative experience, which to something should be positive. There is a push now for a bridge or a second ferry crossing. I understand both arguments, and I attended a meeting there where I think they put up some very good cases. People are saying, oh, well, you know, the uniqueness and the quaintness of the ferry needs to be maintained. There's no reason why it can't. You can have both. One of the other things that came up at that meeting which really concerned me was the extent of the dredging that's being done there just to maintain that ferry operation. The size of the ferry requires extensive dredging, and there are some serious concerns raised about that. So these things need to be taken into consideration. There were some motions that were passed at the meeting that I attended to. It's good to see that the council's now wanting to commission a report. There was a suggestion from the community that they access some of the $4 million that's sitting in the ferry fund. That would be fantastic. And to expedite the process, the council's saying they want to get the money from other sources. Whichever way it is, and I've spoken to the mayor about this, and I mean, my comment was, whatever way you're going to access the money, just don't keep dragging the chain.
Well, did I pick you up on that? The mayor is quoted in Newsport as saying that her team has worked extensively to minimise the impact, organising free shuttle buses, traffic management plans and security for parked vehicles. She also went on to say, quote, the federal government should help Daintree residents deal with this AMSA requirement rather than throw mud and start council bashing. She also said that you made embarrassing comments.
Yeah, I've heard all of the slanging match there, and you know, she's entitled to an opinion. Understand that the AMSA requirements are standard requirements that are right across the whole country, and they were well aware of them. They have been well aware of them for several years. So there's no reason why they couldn't have planned that a lot better. The process that got into place didn't work. You know, there was some additional stuff after there was an outcry from the community, but it certainly was it still had a major negative impact on the community. And of course, we've seen it happen again just soon after when the cable broke for a period of time. Again, the problem started. Understand that the backup has been there for years. For years and years there's been a problem with this. And for years the business community and the residents in the North Douglas community have been trying to get a solution, and it continually been put on the back burner. And in fact, there was a decision made to extend the ferry contract without any consultation for another 5 years, without any contact whatsoever, even though there was a requirement for consultation with the community. It was just signed off on. And these are the sort of, and of course, there was another decision to take $500,000 a year out of the ferry revenue for consolidated revenue for the council, which wasn't there as a cash cow, or shouldn't have been there as a cash cow for council. So there have been a number of issues there that have been a real problem. Understand from a business perspective, if you own a business and you're relying in the North Douglas community and you're relying on people coming past, some of that business can be people that are coming. You know, we've got cruise ships coming in here more and more regularly. They're anticipating something like 100 a year in the foreseeable future. Imagine how long it's going to be for those cruise ships to put a prohibition on any of their passengers. And, you know, there's some of these passengers, they've got 2,500 people. A lot of them'd like to go up there. Before they put a prohibition on people travelling north of Port Douglas, for example, when you've had incidences in the recent past where passengers from cruise ships have gone across the river and then have been held up for so long, they've come back and they've missed their ship, it's sailed, and their passports are sitting in their cabin on the ship, and the problems that's caused. You know, so these are real threats, and that they need to be dealt with. And you know, I don't want to get into a fight with the council. And it's easy for them to point the blame, but, you know, they need to look at their own. They need to listen to their community. They need to listen to their community. And I'm talking about the north of the Dane Creek community, North Douglas community, because these are the ones that are affected by it. And they got to start making decisions that are in the best interest of the North Douglas community rather than the interest of people living south of the river. And so that's been my argument. I've always been a voice for them, and I'll continue to do so. And if I'm going to cop criticism from council and from the mayor, I'm happy to do that. I have a good relationship other than with this, and I'm more than happy to maintain that good relationship with her. But she and I will clearly disagree on this. And I'm quite happy. I've got thick skin. I'm quite happy to cop it. But I'll also come back and defend the North Douglas community. And I've got to tell you, I think that they have been done over badly. And they continue to do so. And we need to be looking at their concerns and their interests and their priorities for once, instead of looking at everybody else outside the area.
Warren Entsch, thanks for your time. Now, before you go, and we're running out of time, so if you can make it quick, you've just announced you'll be contesting the next federal election. You are a glutton for punishment.
Unfinished business, mate. I mean, there are those that are going to be sort of suggesting that my age is a problem. Well, you know, I say to them, if they think they can do it better, throw their hat in the ring. I look forward to seeing their names. You'll also be reading a lot about, oh, well, you know, what's he done? He's been there for so long and he's done nothing. And so it's easy to try and spin those sort of stories. But what we've been doing, I've actually kept all of the media from 1996. And I've got somebody here been working on, just to remind people that we have actually been doing things. We're up to 2001 at the moment, and we've got 9 foolscap pages. And I think at the stage, I think it's about $1.6 billion in projects alone. So you know, it's easy to have the criticism.
And finally, can I play you a song?
You're going to laugh at me, mate. I'm an old cowboy. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Who do you want to sing it? I've got a couple of singers.
Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah. Here it comes. Thanks, Warren.
Thanks, mate. Hero.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds and gold. Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him and he don't die young, he'll probably just ride away. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and there always, even with someone they love. Cowboys like smoky old pool rooms and clear mountain mornings. Little warm puppies and children and girls of the night. And them that don't know him won't like him. And them that do sometimes won't know how to take him. He ain't wrong, he's just different. But his pride won't let him do things to make you think he's right. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive an old truck. Make them.